Last month, 40-year-old Richard Bernstein was elected to the Michigan Supreme Court. He's widely known for his work with his father's Michigan-based law firm. His brother and sister are also part of the Sam Bernstein team, and all are well known from the firm's television advertising. When not practicing law, Richard Bernstein is an athlete, having competed in numerous marathons and triathlons. His blindness has made him sensitive to the unfairness that can accompany life with a disability, and much of his legal work has centered on seeking accommodations for people like wheelchair users and paralyzed veterans. Current State welcomes Richard Bernstein to our studios to talk about life, work, and his election to the Supreme Court. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Our pleasure. A basic question, why did you want to be on the state Supreme Court?
Well, it's interesting because I've had a chance through my legal experience to see how the law can really enhance and truly make life better for people. And, you know, ultimately what you come to realize through that is that you realize, and my campaign slogan, which was an upbeat slogan and a positive slogan, but it still had a very deep meaning. And it was the idea of blind justice, in that justice truly should be blind. And I really felt that through the experience that I had handling groundbreaking, precedent-setting cases, where you could see how the law was really transforming life for people, that the opportunity to move to our state's highest court would allow me to bring the perspective that comes with being a person who sometimes gets counted out or faces challenges or hardships or difficulties. I think that's an important perspective to bring to the discussions that happen at the Supreme Court level.
I have to say, though, that the blind justice for all slogan was I think, edgy. I mean, did you have any moments where you thought, well, maybe we won't do that? What?
I love that question, and I'm glad that you asked it. I insisted on it, and there were discussions about it, but it was upon my insistence that we use that. The reason is that you have to address the elephant in the room. I mean, I'm blind. That's the way it is, and that's the way God created me. And I think if you're going to put people out, you know, in terms of if you're going to run for public office and you're going to put yourself out there, You have to answer those questions, and you have to be available to answer those questions. And so people are naturally curious about blindness, and they're naturally curious about how do you perform? How do you do your jobs? How do you prepare for court? So it's one of those situations where you have to address the issue, because if you don't address the issue, then I don't think you're going to allay the concerns that people have. But if you do it in a positive, upbeat, enthusiastic way, where you can allow for people to feel comfortable asking questions and engaging in discussions, then it can work out well. And that's the beauty of what happened, because awareness creates understanding. And now I think more people in our state and in our country have a better appreciation and understanding for issues of disability. So I think it came together nice, that combination of being upbeat and positive while at the same time addressing a serious issue.
So you have been blind since birth. Talk mm-hmm. about becoming an attorney and succeeding through law school and practicing the law with your blindness. Mm-hmm. And what kinds of things have you had to do to compensate for that?
Well, so the way it would work when I was in law school was I would have to memorize and internalize everything. So I would memorize what the professor was saying, and you would basically have, let's say, a 10, 15-page fact pattern for your exam. I would memorize and internalize that entire fact pattern and then dictate my answer to a scribe. What's also kind of interesting is when I prepare for court, I would memorize 20 or 30 cases for each side of the argument. So, for example, with my brief, I would go to argue and I would have memorized 20, 30 cases that were relevant to my brief. And then I'd have to memorize 20 or 30 cases on the other side. So when I would go to court, I would literally have committed, you know, almost 30 to 40 cases to memory in order to argue them effectively before the judge.
Had you been as a kid a good memorizer? Because that is an astonishing amount of information to be carrying around.
You know, I always believe that you have what you need when you need it. And ultimately, you know, the way that I've always viewed life is that, you know, we don't get to choose the lives that we're given, but we get to choose how to react to the lives that we have. And so ultimately, it's all about compensation and simply finding a way to make it work. So, you know, when you have no choice, when you have no alternative, you're going to do what you have to do. And if you're passionate and you have a strong belief in what you're doing, you simply find a way.
What kind of special accommodations, if any, do you need to do your job, not just running the public services mm-hmm. division mm-hmm. of your father's law firm, but also now at the Michigan Supreme Court?
Sure. I think that the key to that is, you know, really what happens when you're dealing with someone who's blind is most blind people will tend to use what's called an amanuensis. And an amanuensis is someone that helps you do those kind of basic things that sighted people take for granted, like doing things like read, you know, reading documents or reading papers. Also, when you're going to a new building or to a new location, you know, I have to commit that entire premises to memory and internalize wherever I'm at. You know, it's interesting. I've been in the same office for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I've gone to the same courthouse
yeah.
for 15 years. So people like myself, we like things to be consistent and we like things to be kind of the same. So whenever you change something, then that details a pretty intensive learning curve where you have to evoke your memory so that you can become familiar with your premises and where you're at. So I think the way that you always have to look at it is if it takes you, let's say, a certain amount of effort to do something, it takes me 4 or 5 times that to do it. But what happens is that you get it done and you find a way to get it done. And you get it done with pride, you get it done with joy. And even though you have to work a little bit harder, the passion that you have far compensates for the effort that is required.
We're talking with Supreme Court Justice-elect Richard Bernstein. And another of your campaign slogans was, life isn't fair, but judges should be.
Mm-hmm.
Was that an assessment I don't know, an impugnment is necessarily the word I want, but was that an assessment of the judicial system or the state Supreme Court? In what ways do you feel that courts have been unfair?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, what it really was a focus on was the kind of judge I want to be, the kind of way I want to preside, the kind of impact that I want to have. And I think it really comes down to that idea that, you know, ultimately, and I've learned from my own experiences, that life isn't always fair. There are some people that have greater challenges, greater difficulties, greater hardships, and greater obstacles than others. It's just simply the way that God created us, and that's the way that life is. So I think it was the idea that life is not fair, and everyone has those challenges and has those difficulties. But what excites me about moving on to the Supreme Court is that when you sit in the room and when you're having conference, talking about cases that really affect people, that affect the water we drink, the air that we breathe, the privacy that we have, the schools that we attend, the basic core fundamental issues that really have an effect on all of our lives. What I was really trying to focus on was the idea that you want as many different perspectives at that table as possible. And I had to believe that the more challenge or difficulty or hardship someone has, I really believe they're able to bring that voice to a discussion that can truly, hopefully, have an effect on the people that we're there to serve.
Do you think that understanding that people are up against things that may seem insurmountable, do you think that that gives you a level of compassion that could either be useful or perhaps maybe painful in your job?
You know, it's interesting because 85% of the blind population is currently unemployed. Now, that's not because blind people aren't talented or aren't smart or aren't capable. What it is, it's simply a circumstance of economics. The reason that I'm so passionate about justice and why I'm so excited about this position is that I have been given the greatest blessing that you could hope to have. I've been given the blessing of challenge and struggle. But at the same time, the reason that I'm an attorney and the reason that now I'm having the chance to become a Supreme Court justice is because I realized that I was blessed to be born into a family that had the financial resources to allow for me to have tremendous opportunities with education. And I think when you combine the two, when you combine an ability to understand struggle and challenge, but also with an awareness that you've been given the opportunity to do something about it, that you've been given the chance to make life better for other people, when you combine that understanding and empathy of struggle with a genuine ability to actually have the resources to act upon that understanding, mm-hmm. is something that I'm so grateful for, and that's what I enjoy the most.
I don't know. It's hard to forecast the future, but do you have an idea what cases you may be taking on once you are sworn in as a Supreme Court Justice?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the cases are all public, and if you go to the Michigan Supreme Court website, you can actually see the actual briefs of the cases that are being decided. So everything is really on the table, everything from the environment to everything from people's right to organize to educational opportunities. There's a lot of very, very comprehensive criminal matters that are coming before the court. So I would have to tell you that I believe January is going to be a very intensive and very active month for the court. But I think it is interesting for people to know about what's coming up. And literally, if you just simply go to the Michigan Supreme Court website, all the briefs are currently on file, and there are 28 cases that are coming up for oral argument, and these are cases that really will affect the lives of many.
As you're looking to your future position, will you have to stop what you've been doing in the past? Will you have to stop working with the Bernstein Law Firm because of their involvement in court cases and that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As of December 31st, I will have absolutely no connection whatsoever with my current law firm. Absolutely no connection. I will be completely, dissolved from the law firm with absolutely no connection. And in fact, I've actually basically said that, I will never hear cases. And my hope is to be on the Supreme Court for many years. I can serve till I'm 70. So I have an 8-year term coming. And hopefully with the support of the voters, it's really my hope to serve for quite a long time. And the promise that I've made is that the law says that you can hear cases from your prior law firm for 2 years. So if you've been on the bench, let's say you've come from a law firm, what the law says is that you can't hear cases from your prior law firm for a 2-year period of time. So after that 2-year period of time, you can hear cases from your prior firm. The promise that I'm making is that at no time will I ever hear cases from my family's law firm. So for the time that I'm going to be on the court, well beyond the 2 years that is required, at no time will I ever hear any cases whatsoever that have any connection whatsoever with my family's firm.
Supreme Court Justice-elect Richard Bernstein, thank you so much for joining us on Current State.
Thank you. I hope that you'll have me back. This was such a wonderful experience, and you have such a nice, kind voice I really enjoyed being with you. So I really hope that you'll have us back. I'm looking forward to being up here in Lansing, and if you extend an invitation, it would be my great honor to come back and be with you some more.
We appreciate that very much. Thank you.
You.